Hey guys, and welcome to another mini-sode. We're so excited because today we're doing a very special mini-sode on a trip that we both love so very much. Yes. Grumpy Sunshine.
Right? Yes.
We love Grumpy Sunshine. It's a great pairing, and it doesn't have to be. I think that the most common, pairing is a grumpy hero
right.
and a sunshine heroine. But, I mean, there are books out there that have a grumpy heroine and yes. a sunshine hero. So yeah. I love those as well. So anyway, we just thought that it would be really fun to talk about our favorite books, and we hadn't done a trope-specific mini-sode in a while.
Yep.
So we're going to kick it off, and we don't know. This is one of the few instances – because usually when we have something like this, I create a Google Doc and we both put our, top 10, top 5, whatever we're doing. And I can kind of see what Juliet's put on there. But this time, Juliet used the Google Doc. And for some reason, I just wrote it down in my notebook because I had it in my lap. So I have no idea what she's picked.
It was a blessing and a curse because usually I'm like, I look at yours. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Like you're reminded of that one. Yeah, exactly.
But this time is like there was nothing. It's like Justin's blank. I was like, I know she has her list. She's not waiting to the last minute like me.
No, I have my list. It's but, just written down on paper this time. I went old school.
So this will be fun. We'll probably have some overlap anyway. It'll be interesting
to see how much overlap without seeing.
Having collaborated at all.
Yeah, no collaboration for this one. So let's see if we have any overlap. I'm very curious. Again, neither of us put these in any order. So it's not like we're not going from like favorite.
Yeah, sometimes we do like our top 10s and this is just basically a list.
List of 10 Grumpy Sunshine romances that, live rent-free in our minds because they're so awesome. So Juliet, you want to kick it off first with one of your first Grumpy Sunshine recs? What are you recking to people?
My first one is Marrying Winterbourne by Lisa Kleypas.
Yes, Reese.
Reese and Helen. Okay, so Reese is the grumpiest of grumps.
Yes.
Welshman. Hot ass Welshman. He's kind of that, if you've ever seen the Mr. Selfridge historical.
I love that. That's
show.
Yeah. Netflix. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And he's a department store owner and she's a girl that works at the department store. Yeah, I really like that one. That
so
fun.
That's kind of what he, but he's like, not that same personality, but he owns that type of store, at that
it's like one of
that
the
era.
First big, department stores.
Right. Where even like the nobility didn't go because they just thought it wasn't, you had to go
like
to your private modiste.
Right. It's all kind of like new money type of thing.
Yes. So that one was just the best because Helen is just, she's very optimistic and sunshiny, but she's also like timid and shy. And she has to like basically, come up against this Welshman who is pissed off because she broke
very
off the
broody.
Yes, he's very broody. He broke
he
off the engagement.
Lots
I mean, she
of
broke off the engagement,
So he won't actually like talk about his feelings right away. If he's mad, he like likes to hold it in and stuff like that. So
that
Helen
opening,
has a time.
Yes, that opening is one of my favorites because he's so angry. He's still angry because he's still like in love with her.
Yeah,
and he thinks she broke off the engagement, but
and it's
really
like
it was
they come
the
from
sister-in-law.
Two different sorts of social classes as well, and so like he kind of has a chip on his shoulder because he's a self-made man type of thing. And Helen.
And she's been very sheltered.
Helen's been very sheltered. She grew up in an abusive household in general. Like the men in her family were
and in
not
the
great.
Country.
But she's like this like bright ray of sunshine because she's just so like she's so beautiful like inside and out and like she has this love of orchids
very sweet nature
just very sweet natured
nurturing
genteel
I mean if you could think of any word for her it'd be genteel but on top of that she is determined to marry her Welshman
and I really like it though too because I feel like Helen is such a she is a very timid character but she does not lack a spine it took her a little while because we see her in the first book, Cold Hearted Rake, and she is a little bit too timid, and that's why the engagement with Winterbourne gets called off. And then she decides, she's like,
he's the one I want.
This is what I want, and I'm going to go after what I want. I really love that. I mean, Reese and Helen are just, in general, some of my favorite couples.
Mine too. It's one of my top rereads, Marrying Winterbourne. So, of course, I immediately thought of them as my first one.
Okay. I do have a Lisa Kleypas on my list.
I'm going to go to that one. Okay.
So I put Love in the Afternoon, and that's Beatrice and Christopher. This is the last book in her Hathaway series. So Beatrice is a lover of animals. She has like all kinds of pet animals. She has a ferret. She has a hedgehog named Medusa.
I love the ferret.
I love it. She's also a little bit of a klepto. So she has like, you know, a little bit of PTSD. And when she's feeling very anxious, she ends up
Her anxiety comes up.
Mm-hmm. She steals things and stuff like that. But anyway, this is also an epistolary novel. And she writes letters to Christopher, who is at war.
As his betrothed, or whatever.
She's pretending to be one of her friends, which I use friends very lightly because I hate this person. She's not a great girl. She's very shallow, very vain. She doesn't feel like writing to Christopher, and Beatrice is just kind of like, you might be like his only ray of light in this terrible situation that he's in. Like, you can't not respond just because you're just like, you're bored because he's not here with you to entertain you. So you're turning your attention to somebody else. Anyway, so Beatrice writes to him as her friend. Mm-hmm. And when he returns, like, she feels like she's in love with him and he doesn't know it.
And he's in love with the girl who wrote to him.
He's in love with the person who's writing.
Yes. Like, it's so good.
And he is so broody. And like, she is just, she comes from a family that is just kind of like, kind of a little bit bonkers. They're running wild.
The Hathaways are great. They're eccentric. Like, dad's the nutty professor type. Yes. Like, oh, like they're my favorites.
And so, you know, they have like a big brood, and their oldest brother, Leo, he's very broody as well. And the oldest sister, Amelia, is kind of really taking care of them after their parents have died. But yeah, they weren't actually born into like the aristocracy. They were next in line. Like, the father never expected to inherit this title, and they eventually did. So, like, they're all just very bookish, and they're self-sufficient. And, yeah, so she definitely she has, like, donkeys, goats running through the house. Like, it's just a fun book, and I just love this one so much. So It's one of my favorite Lisa Kleypas books. It just makes it so warm and cozy.
Oh, God. Well, Lisa Kleypas, she's the queen.
What a queen. Mm. Lisa Kleypas, we haven't heard from you. Where's your
book? What's next? What's happening? Hello. Please tell us. You know, it's so funny because they had a for Book Bonanza, there's a page for authors, and one of the sponsors was like, hey, if anybody has recommendations for anybody who you would like to come, and like Carla Sorensen put Lisa Kleypas like on there.
Make her come.
And the sponsor was like, oh, that's great. Do you have a contact for her? She goes, I wish. I wish I had.
Yes.
Because I was like, I second, third, and fourth that. If you could get Lisa Kleypas out of wherever private home she's
just
dwelling
relaxing
in.
And she's doing her thing right now. Yeah. I guarantee you, she's like not even, she really has never been on social media that much.
No. So. I don't even know of a book con she's ever been to.
Lisa, but we love you.
But we would like scare
her.
Your
rabid fans. It's ridiculous.
It would be a line of authors beating readers off. Get out.
Be like, I'm her biggest fan.
Right. I know. Okay. Oh, so,
what's your next one?
Okay. So, do you want me to switch to, I have more historical romance. So, do you want me to switch to a contemporary?
Whatever you so desire. I'm not picking because I don't have like an even amount of.
Yeah, I don't either. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do one of my favorite contemporaries then. Okay. Truth or Beard by Penny Reed.
Oh, that's such a good one. I don't have that one on my list, but Jessica. It's so perfect. Yes.
So this is what probably it's one of my, I want to say it's my favorite, but I have a couple of favorites of Penny Reed, but this is definitely one of the top tops. Dwayne, even though he's the pursuer, he's definitely grumpy. He's the grumpy brother, twin brother.
The grumpy twin. I think that's the also like twin. Makes a good contrast because Beau is super sunshine. Very exuberant, and he's like affectionate and talkative, and Dwayne's like stoic.
And Jessica is one of my favorite heroines ever. She's just so direct and goofy and funny. Like, it opens with her. She's showing up at the Halloween contest as sexy Gandalf.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this bitch, she would be my best friend.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I immediately loved her when she thought to make Gandalf sexy. I'm like, yes. Please. Like, and awesome. So she accidentally kisses Dwayne because she had a crush on Beau because he is the more affectionate, and Dwayne was always picking at her.
Yeah.
You know the classic boy's gonna pull on your pigtails because he likes you. That was what Dwayne was doing.
But she thought he was mean. Yeah.
Just like, you're mean. And Dwayne's just kind of like, no, I've always been into you. And so she accidentally kisses Dwayne thinking it's Beau. And she's like, this is the hottest thing ever. And then she realizes it's Dwayne. She's like, no.
Oh my God, how? And then she's just completely like, wait, how was I so attracted to Dwayne? You know, like, it's so good.
I really love in this book. I mean, I know we're not talking about this aspect specifically, but I do love that she doesn't fight it too hard once she realizes that, oh, wait, I do have a spark with Dwayne.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't try to fight it and try to go out with Beau after that. You know, like, I'm so
and
glad
he has charm. Dwayne has some charm.
Oh, he's smooth.
Oh, yeah.
For being a grump, he is absolutely smooth.
Yeah, he's also just hot. As fuck. I mean, so.
Beardy ginger mechanic. So I definitely concur with that. See, this is so fun because
that is definitely one of
my favorite Grumpy Sunshines, but
it just didn't come to mind.
It just didn't come to mind when I was making my list at the time.
All right.
I think that Grumpy Sunshine is just also one of those tropes that I most gravitate towards.
Same.
So it's like, there's just too many books, right? Honestly.
That's the other thing. It's like, we just love Grumpy Sunshine. Yeah, so
it's just one of my favorite. Okay. So my a contemporary that I really love is Bittersweet by Serena Bowen.
Okay, it's on my list.
It's on your list. Okay,
Grumpy Griff.
Grumpy Griff. Okay, I will give you a hint. This is not the only Grumpy Griff that I have on my list.
Oh, no. Yeah,
because, okay, so Julia and I, we have a thing where when we started, like, realizing Grumpy Sunshine was one of our favorites, Griffin tended to be in a lot of our Grumpy Sunshines. Yes. Like, the hero's name was Griffin.
And he was so grumpy.
I was like, Griffin just sounds like a grumpy name. So it's like, oh, of course, there's a Grumpy Griff in this Grumpy Sunshine book. And so it's just a thing now. When you read a Grumpy Sunshine book, there's a chance that the hero's name is Griffin.
And I promised on one of the podcasts, I swore, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a Grumpy Griff. And sure enough, I do. He's going to show up in my Beauville series.
Grumpy Griff. I love it. It's just you know, a little nod now. So, yeah. So this one, I really love Bittersweet so much.
Yes.
So the heroine, Audrey, she's working. Her mom is, like, really big and, like, kind of like the restaurant food industry type of thing. Mm-hmm. She's trying to prove herself, though. And she goes out to, I believe it's Vermont, to a small orchard because she's trying to hit these small farms
to have contracts.
Yes, exactly. Contracts with them. Mm-hmm. And she ends up by running into Griffin, somebody that she knew in college who wasn't very, like, super nice to her.
Yeah, another one who wasn't nice to her.
Not nice to her. She was also dating somebody else at the time, but he always had a crush on her, but not nice to her.
Yeah.
So when she shows up, like, she's not even dressed to be walking around and all that. She has, like, a flat tire.
She's, like, tripping on a heel or something.
Yes, yes. And so, like, Griffin is just like, oh my God, turn around. Goodbye. Like, mm-hmm. in his family farm, like, his dad didn't really handle the business well. So now that he's running it, he's trying to save it.
Right.
And so not only is he trying to do the apples and the cows, he's trying to make hard cider.
Yeah.
And that's, like, his thing,
that's
too.
Like,
so
a side thing.
I just really love it. I just really love how they connected. They just have, like, one of those intense connections.
And one of the hottest outdoor sex scenes.
Oh, God. It's
early
so good.
In the book, I was like, holy shit, this is happening right now.
Yes. It's like the sparks were flying.
Yeah.
The chemistry is hot. It's so great. Yeah. And Audrey is definitely just one of those optimistic people. Like, she always gets knocked down, but she gets right back up. And I love that in a Sunshine character, where whether it be a male or a female. And that's just, like, the energy that she brings. Because Griffin, he has, like, such weight and burden just, like, resting on his shoulders with this business. Like, he's trying to take care of his mom, his grandfather, who doesn't want to, like, move into the house so they can take care of him, and, like, his younger siblings.
Yeah, they've got all the eccentric characters.
Yes, all the eccentric characters and his siblings, and he's the one that he was at in college, and I believe his dad had a heart attack and had to leave because, like, he was playing football and he had to come back.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, he's very grumpy, and I just love the fresh ideas that Audrey brings to him. And just
she's that hopeless optimistic character.
Like, this can work.
Yeah.
You should do this. And she brings great ideas.
And he starts to listen.
Yeah.
And of course they fall in love.
Yay.
And
have love. So, yes, I love Bittersweet. It's just one of my favorite Serena
It Bowens. Is. That was actually one of my first ones I thought of for my list.
It's the first one I wrote down on my list. So I was like, Bittersweet, it's the Grumpy Sunshine that I remember the most.
Yeah. That's too funny. Because I was like, okay, Grumpy Griff. Come on. Oh, bittersweet. Okay.
Classic.
Next one. So we're going to go back to historical for the next one. Taming of a Highlander by Lisa Braden, Broderick and Kate.
I almost put Taming. I ended up by putting Temptation.
Okay, no, so I almost put Temptation.
Okay, so tell them about Taming, and then I'll tell them about Temptation.
Yeah, well, okay, so Broderick, okay, he's not naturally grumpy, but he has been imprisoned and has been tortured and scarred and has basically, like, kind of, his personality didn't used to always be this way. We kind of get the hint later on, but he sort of, like, succumbed to, like, this melancholy and just is living in this state of broodiness. And Kate is this sweet, sunshiny girl with, I love it open. She's like, so she wants to write a novel. Okay. And she's writing these like crazy, fantastic novels. Like she's like, we need wolves.
A wolf.
We need wolves.
And everyone keeps telling her there's no wolves in the Highlands. Scotland. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and she's like, there is in my novel.
There must be. There's a wolf that comes for the heroine.
She's like one of those dreamers.
She's a dreamer.
She's such a dreamer.
Dreamer. And that is the perfect way to describe Kate. And so, of course, she's, you know, off writing this on a cliffside, and this breeze like sweeps her papers away, and she stumbles upon Broderick basically trying to kill someone.
Yeah. Scares her half to death.
It is her enemy, and she runs away and is just, of course, like, there was a monster.
She's
so dramatic, which I love these kind of overly dramatic heroines. So it just turns out to be.
She's also like incredibly tenacious as well, yes. Because when they kind of really have a marriage of convenience in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, her first impression of Broderick is not that great. She's like, he was trying to kill somebody with his bare hands. Like, this man is dangerous, you know? And they have to marry for her safety and his safety as well. And she wants to stay in Scotland to have her inspiration anyway.
Right.
But like, she, at first, her first reaction is like, I cannot be married to him because like, I'm kind of scared of him. But she quickly finds, you know, that spine and looks him in the eye and she won't back down. And I really love that. She's like, oh, once she settles
tenacious,
on something, she will not let go. She is rabid with it. Like, if she knows what she wants, she goes after
it. But that's what Broderick needs, because he's so deep into his depression. Like,
he wants to push everyone
away. Yeah, he does. And she just won't relent. And, and he can't. He starts to fall.
Flips over the bed to get away from him because he's trying to push her out the room. And she's like, no, we're having this conversation. She like flips over the bed so he can't get her.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments. I'm just like, you go, Kate. Girl.
I love these kind of heroines that are just spitfires, you know, on top of being super sunshiny. They're like the best kind of characters.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, love Taming of the Highlander is one of my top Lisa Braden books, but also not the only one on my list, but not the one you have.
Yeah.
So why
don't
you
share? And we've reviewed both of these on the podcast. Yeah. So if you want to go listen to them, I decided to pick Temptation of a Highlander, which is her most recent release in the Midnight in Scotland. And, you know, all of these McPherson brothers, you know, they're quite broody. So we have lots of grumpy sunshine pairings. I love Cam. So Cam's a little bit of a loner, actually.
Yeah.
And he lives like alone in this farmhouse that's really like kind of a hovel. It's like he's not tried to fix it up at all.
Right.
It has like one chair for him to sit at. Like literally, like he is not inviting anybody to this house.
So his backstory is he feels cursed.
Yeah, he does feel a little cursed, and that's why he is pushing basically everybody away and stuff. And again, this is another marriage of convenience situation. Right. So Clarissa is running away.
Oh, yes.
From a stalker.
From a really, like, evil stalker.
The first chapter
stalker.
Of this book, I was like, oh, my God.
Is this, like, a horror story?
Yeah, I was like, I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I don't like, y'all, and it does. Like, this book has some moments where it's like, oh, my God, it felt like a contemporary stalker issue just back in time.
Yes.
Like,
it was very, really like, creepy. Real and harrowing and stuff, but Clarissa, and I just love these tenacious heroines, you know, she is trying to protect her grandmother, trying to keep her head held high.
Right.
She goes to Scotland to visit her friend Kate, and that's when she meets Cam, and she can't help but, like, she turns into this
giant
puddle of goo every time he walks in, and, like,
inappropriate
things. Everything that comes out of her mouth is an
innuendo.
What big
hands you have.
She's like, I didn't mean, what? No.
You have,
take that back.
You have such a big form.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure you'd be able to manipulate me on the dance floor. And like, she just like keeps saying stuff and she just like, why did I open my mouth?
Why did I say something?
So they end up by having a marriage of convenience for her protection.
Yeah.
And when she gets to this farmhouse, like, it looks just horrible. Yeah, she's like falling apart. But what? Then she's just kind of like, okay, well, it just needs, you know, scrubbing. And she ends up by using, she has like this fabric that she planned to make a dress out of. But then she ends up by curtains. Making curtains because she wants to make it homey. And she plants a garden and stuff like that. And it's just like,
she brings the sunshine into his house
and his home. And
I love that because it's all because of the curse that he's sort of created this life, this again melancholy life for himself, and she's the one who basically tells him, you know, you aren't cursed. You know, she learns through this that you have to come out of this. And
I love the little supernatural element in this one too. The dreams that they both share.
Yes.
Oh, it's hot. Just letting you guys know, it's fucking hot. Oh, it's so good. So anyway, yeah. Elisa Braden is one of our favorite historical romance authors. So it's not a surprise that she has appeared on both of ours.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. That we got two for one for Elisa Braden on this one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. What's your next one?
Okay. How about a Grumpy Sunshine. I actually have two. Okay, first one, Sink or Swim by Maz Maddox. Oh my god,
that is such a good one. We've also reviewed this one on the podcast.
Yeah, Baja and Jackson.
Oh, Baja is so grumpy. Oh,
so y'all, this is a Grumpasaurus. Dinosaur Shifter romance. It's as crazy as it sounds, but talk about fun, like so fantastic, terrific writing, engaging, but like, yeah, so Baja is this super broody,
Spinosaurus. I was like, it's something
with an S. That big evil one in the Jurassic Park series, y'all. Yeah,
he's a Spinosaurus. And he's so grumpy. And their group likes to protect fossils. So, like, there's people who, like, are trading them on the black market. And they get wind that there's basically, like, this cruise ship where there's going to be lots of...
They feel like suspense thrillers, this series.
Mm-hmm. And it's like they're fighting crime, but they're dinosaur shifters,
and
you know?
And Jackson is just this cute country boy... Cowboy.
Texas.
And so they have to pair up and pretend to be a couple on this cruise, this fake yacht dating. Cruise where they're, you know, it's like an underground auction of dinosaur relics. And so, yeah, so it's just great because they fall so hard for each other and Baja can't even like stop himself. Like it's just so good.
I love it because Jackson knows that Baja does not want to be part of Baja is solo. Like all his missions are
all
solo.
And all the other books.
I don't want a partner at all. And especially not you because you're kind of a traitor because he used to date the guy who's actually running this auction.
Right. So it's like
so he's just like, I don't trust you. I don't trust you at all. And it's forced proximity. They have to share a cabin room together. And so that, you know, just he one spices bed. Things up, you know.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Hello. And I also really love the moment where they actually kind of like duke it out as well. And it's like, kind of makes them a little horny.
Yo. Fighting turns into sex. That's great for MMs.
How wonderful. How wonderful. But yeah, I mean, Jackson just like wiggles his way underneath all of that, you know, tough exterior that Baja has. And yeah, that's a great, great Grumpy Sunshine.
Yay! Thank you.
It's good job. Okay, so this one... We're actually going to review this one on the podcast. We haven't yet. And I don't think Juliet's read it yet.
Oh, my
goodness. Drive Me Wild by Melanie Harlow.
Did you
read this one or did you not?
I think I have read this. Tell me about it.
So we have a grumpy Griff.
I'm telling you, I think I did read this one.
So the heroine Blair, she actually shows up to this small town.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like in her car is like she's basically like kind of running away from home. Her parents are like very wealthy and they say that she can't like hack it by herself. And so like her car needs repairs and stuff. And Grumpy Griff owns a mechanic shop. Okay. And she ends up by crashing in his like like apartment yep. because she was trying to sleep in her car and stuff like that. She had nowhere to go. And he ends up by giving her, well, she kind of like worms her way into becoming the secretary for his garage because they lost their secretary. And so she yeah. just starts like organizing stuff to be able to pay for parts and stuff like
I've
that.
I've definitely read this one, by the way.
Okay, yes. So we're going to do this one on the podcast and talk more detail about it. But yeah, I just really loved it. Like Melanie Harlow, this is the first book in this series, but mm-hmm. I really love her small town romance vibes. And I really love the dynamic between Griffin and Blair. And oh my God, they have some spicy sex scenes in this one. I'm just like, oh, I love them. I love Look, them together.
We love this small town spicy.
Yeah. And I mean, it's forced proximity. Like she has nowhere to go. So she is literally bunking with
Damsel
him.
In distress.
Damsel in we distress. Like that. You know, he just like, I don't like her bubbly personality, but then he does.
But then
you know?
he can't like leave her he alone. Can't resist. He can't strand her.
He feels possessive over her mm-hmm. for some odd reason. And that's just one of my favorites though. Yeah. That's yeah. just one of my favorites. So, yeah. I'm excited yeah. to talk about that one on the
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, I am too. I'm going to have to reread it to refresh my memory. But, yes, as soon as you start talking about it, I'm like, yep, I've read it. okay, so my next one, I'm going to go back. This will be my last Elisa Braden, you guys. Anything But a Gentleman by Elisa Braden.
I love
so
this one.
Is Sebastian Reaver and Augusta. We are going to do this one on the podcast
yes,
at some
yes,
point.
Yes, we're gonna, we just, yes. Yes, yes. Ugh. I mean, Elisa Braden, I'm going to have to go count how many episodes we have on the podcast now because I feel like she and Lisa Kleypas are like neck and neck for like,
taken
the most
over.
Episodes yeah. that we have featured on one yeah. single author. Yeah. But I don't regret it, you know?
Yeah. Anything About a Gentleman. So Reaver is the owner of a gaming hell and Augusta is trying to basically protect her sister. She goes in to make a deal with him because the guy who owes money is the one who she wants her sister to marry, her sister's supposed to marry. So, but I love how she just steamrolls into his office, sneaks in there. Like,
I think that this is one of my favorite openings for yes. Elisa Braden.
And he is just like taken aback, like, woman, do you know what you're doing?
She keeps entering into his all gentlemen club. She inserts herself in there in disguises. Like she shows up in like a maid costume, acting like she's one of the maids.
Yes.
And then like appears in his office like multiple times. And he's just like, how are you getting in? Like who's guarding the doors? Like what is happening? But she's too savvy for him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
She's super smart.
She's such
super
a savvy
clever.
Heroine.
Tenacious. We love those heroines.
Oh, God,
you know?
I love her. I love her so much. Yeah.
So yeah. This is another one, again, we will have on the podcast at some point. But so good. If you've not read, it's The Rakes of Ruin. Is that the name of this? Rescued from Ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Series by Elisa Braden. So many good ones. And this is one of the best.
Yes. I want to say it's probably my favorite from
yeah.
that series.
Yeah.
That one and then The Devil is the Marquess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would be the runner up for that one. So.
Yep. Which we just did.
We just did that one.
All right. How about another one from you, Missy?
Okay. The next one I have is The Lie by Carla Sorensen.
Ooh. I thought about that one too.
I love The Lie. So The Lie yeah. is a spinoff from her Washington Wolves series. It's yep. like a next gen, but you don't have to read The Washington Wolves yeah. to understand.
But you should because it's
you should,
so
absolutely,
fucking good.
You should. 100%. But I really love this because Dominic is a new football player for the Washington mm-hmm. Wolves. He previously had played for Vegas, and he has a really bad reputation.
Yeah.
And he knows he does. So he kind of comes with a chip on his shoulder and already knows people aren't going to like him, so he doesn't even want to, like, try to correct that assumption. And yeah. he just kind of, like, goes harder into that persona. And when he kind of gets caught for something that he doesn't do, actually, and this is what I love about it as well, because he's trying to be this hard ass, but when we immediately meet him, he's taking the blame for somebody else's wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. And so you know he's a good guy. But anyway, he's a dick to Faith, our heroine, when they first meet, and thinks that she's some spoiled pamper princess because yep. her mom is the owner of the Washington Wolves and her dad is like the coach and stuff like that. And he is forced to work with her charity foundation because he's kind of like on probation. And she's like so chipper and he's so broody. And then he discovers.
Little does he know.
That she is actually his pen
his
pal. Be-
his best friend, his basically. Best friend. His best friend.
They have been communicating for like the past 5 years.
Yep.
But they've never met in person before.
She has like helped him through the death of his sister. Yes. Like they've bonded and they kind of mutually decided not to like see each other's faces. It was just kind of like
well, at first they weren't even living in the same state, right? Because like I said, they're both from Washington, but he right. had been in Vegas, you know. And he the reason why they connected is she volunteered at the animal rescue or whatever, and mm-hmm. he wanted to like adopt one of the animals
for his sister
and his sister's name, and that's how they first connected. They just started like writing to each yeah. other and messaging each other, and so I really love it because then yeah. he's like, oh shit, it's I've her. Been dick to her,
it's her
this whole time and this is my best friend, like oh shit, like what would she think of me knowing
yeah.
you know this is
and he realizes really fast that she's not the spoiled rich girl, so then yeah. he is trying to date her but yeah. he won't, of course, you know.
And well, I love how like the parents are just kind of like absolutely not, he's not, an asshole, what are you talking about,
because he was a troublemaker back in yeah. Vegas, he was known as the bad boy mm-hmm. always,
but it was,
you know,
it was more the
coaching
vibe,
staff
yeah
and stuff,
that
the team.
That's the kind of thing they fostered over
right,
there
at that
it
team.
Wasn't necessarily like his personality. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love The Lie by Carla Sorensen. I think it might be one of my favorites by her.
Yeah.
I really love The Marriage Effect. I don't know. So.
I know. So good.
Yep, yep,
oh, my
yep.
gosh.
All right. What's the next one?
Next one I'm going to do is Rules for a Proper Governess by Jennifer Ashley.
Oh, that's such a good one. I love that one.
So we just read this one for the Patreon exclusive.
Yes.
And I fell in love. So we have a super broody Scotsman, Sinclair.
Mm-hmm. And he's a barrister. He's a lawyer.
Yes. And Bertie, who's our little Cockney, you know, working class pickpocket. Y'all, I fell in love with her.
She's
fell
such a great
in
heroine.
Love with Bertie. Like, she's exactly what he needs in his life. And so he's a widower. And of course, that's why he's so gloomy and melancholy, mm-hmm. you know. And he's still, even though it's like 7 years later, he's basically just been in mourning this whole time. And Bertie comes into his life and pickpockets.
And takes his
steals
watch.
His watch. And he goes after her. And it just, I don't know. This romance is just one of my favorite historical romances because then
I really love because they're both working class, and even though
yeah.
Sinclair has, you know, ties to the aristocracy, he has family yeah. that have
and
titles.
He has
like,
he has
just a regular guy, you know,
he is, and even though he has a I would say, you know, an honored position in society in mm-hmm. the working class because he's a barrister.
He still works,
you know,
goes to work every
right.
day, you know.
But she's a little pickpocket. But we come to find out that she comes from a very sad home life, no mother, a father who's basically forced her to be his little street urchin since she was a young girl slipping
Slaps
through.
Her around.
Yeah, abuses her, and she's got a semi-boyfriend, not really, that is planning on marrying her, but basically threatening her life all the time. And
yeah.
Yeah, she's got it rough. So, but even despite all that, she's always optimistic. And the way she takes his children.
I love her personality. That's what I'm
yes.
saying. He has two hellions for children.
And she goes like, I know how to deal with
she
these kids.
She knows exactly how to deal with them. And she doesn't have to. And she like, it's all of these strict governesses, they
right.
hate them. They hate them. They are always running off from
right.
the governesses, and the governesses are always sent back to the agency saying, we can't handle the kids. And Bertie, this, you know, low-class pickpocket, comes in and
yeah.
knows how to talk to these kids to where they'll listen, you know?
Yeah.
Talk to them like people and, you know, make them interested in lessons. And just, I really love the way that she brightens up that home
yeah.
life. Like, it's just so great. I just love it.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good.
It was good.
Oh, I love that one. That was probably one of my favorite Patreon exclusives that we've done.
Yeah, it is.
That
it,
was a great
find. It is
find.
Definitely my favorite so far.
So it was reader suggestion, guys. We love
yes.
those. We love those.
Okay. Next one.
My next one that I'm putting on the list is The Secret by Julie Garwood.
Ooh.
I love
that's
Judith
a good
and
one.
Ian. Okay. So Judith is this English lass. And she, when she was like a five years old, there's like this festival that happens on the border between England and Scotland. And she found this other little girl and they became friends. And like, you know, Scots and Englishmen, they don't get along, but they did mingle for this festival. Right. Well, you know, they always met for the festival year after year after year. And her friend ends up by getting married and they promise each other like when she is going to have the baby, Judith, who's been studying midwifery, she said she was going to be there for the birth. Yeah. And it's almost time for her friend to give birth, and the laird is sent to go fetch Judith, and he does not have a high opinion of English ladies, and she is so like he thinks when he's going to get there, she's going to refuse to come because there's no way that an English woman would be friends with a Scots woman,
right?
But she surprises him at every turn.
She is waiting. Like, she is waiting for
barely
him.
Speaks to her on this ride, and she all of a sudden like it's him and a bunch of his men, and yes. She's just kind of like, okay, I'm ready, I'm packed, I'm ready, like
ready to go.
And she's chipper and she's talkative, and he even tells her just kind of like, why is she talking? Like, make her shut up. Like, this is ridiculous.
They're super broody Scotsmen.
They're just like, we don't talk this much. We're just like trying to enjoy our meal in peace. What is going on? But she quickly wraps all of them around her finger. Yes. And I just love that power. I just love that power that she has. So, and also just like in moments when she's like afraid, like the first time she ever delivers like a baby by herself, she acts super confident and stuff. And then after it, she's like
crying. Yeah. Like,
she's just like, I was so scared, you know?
Yes.
And it was just, I love the way that they support each other. And yeah, Judith is definitely what Ian needs. So The Secret's definitely my favorite book by Julie Garwood.
Same. That one is such a good one, guys.
Yep.
Oh. Okay. Next on my list, Things We Never Got Over by Lucy Score.
Not that one, Naomi. Too. I have that one, too.
Probably because we both recently read that one, so it was on our minds.
Yeah, and it was – he's super broody. Like, super he is such broody. A grump.
He's so mean. He's so mean. So she is returning to town. Her twin sister is a total bitch. And thief and
has
criminal.
A horrible reputation.
Horrible reputation in town. She shows up in town because the sister's like, you know, you need to come.
I need help,
you know, whatever. And so, of course, she can't turn away her sister. So she shows up and immediately Knox hears that, you know, what's her name is stirring up trouble in the coffee shop. And he goes
not
in there.
Tina.
It's not Tina. It's Naomi, you know, and he's like, get out, you know, and yelling at her. So it's just like their first
because
meeting
she causes
is
trouble
so confrontational.
With every single person in town. And so like there's literally a sign in the cafe that Naomi first walked into with her sister's
with her face
on there being like,
you do not serve.
Serving. Do not serve this person. And so everyone thinks there's going to be trouble. So Knox is called into the diner and she's already explained to the diner owner that she is not Tina. I'm Naomi. I'm the twin sister.
She even brought out her ID
and
showed him. And he realizes, okay, she's even acting different.
And she just wants a goddamn coffee. Mm-hmm. And then Knox, this asshole, walks in trying to force her out. And she's just kind of like, look you beardy asshole. Do not.
Get away.
I'm just trying to drink my coffee here. Do not try to manhandle me.
And even again, she's another one of those tenacious, sunshiny heroines because, like, while she's in the coffee shop, Tina steals her car, goes to her hotel room, steals all of her shit except for the wedding dress in the corner. We have another runaway bride. And leaves a present, her 11-year-old daughter, on the bed.
She had no idea. Gone. Naomi had no idea she had a niece.
She even had a niece.
And so, Tina just abandoned her.
Yeah. So it's such an unusual opening, and it's really great because Knox, as broody as he is, he's like, you can't sleep in this abandoned trailer, like where they were gonna sleep, come with me. But he's grumpy the whole time, even mm-hmm. though he's like super protective again, you know, immediately. So yeah, it's awesome. Those are awesome setups where we basically have this heroine who's damsel in distress, and the hero is not an asshole, but as grumpy as he is, he can't not help her.
No. So. And it's not that she's not, like, she is going to be self-sufficient. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
She will find a way. But she doesn't have any money. Obviously, she's been robbed. She's going to stay in, like, this like, run-down trailer that Tina's been in that they're being evicted from. Like, she was just like,
and her parents are on a trip. She can't even call her parents. They're,
she
like, in Europe.
She doesn't bother them.
You know, like, and she ran away from her fiancé at the altar.
Yeah, and her family's worried about her. So she's trying not to be the problem child.
Right.
And so, like, she was going to figure it out. But, like, Knox just can't stand by and just let her. Like, he has to step in. And he's mad about it. that he feels the need to really step in. He's
mad about it.
He's mad about his response to her. That's what he's mad about. And I love it. I love it.
Mm, it's good.
So good. So good. Okay. I have a classic coming up. Culty by Mariana Zapata.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Mariana How could I not Zapata think of that?
Writes some really good grumpy heroes, does she I ever. Will say, because also I know a very popular one is The Wall of Winnipeg.
That is one of my favorites. Yeah. Okay. I'm automatically putting that back on the list.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a number 10.
She is putting it on
because that's
list.
One of my
you
favorite.
You can talk about Wall of okay. Winnipeg. So Culty, and it's also an age gap, so it's like, oh, two of my favorites.
Yes.
I love Sal Casillas because she's a soccer player that has always looked up to Renier Culty, a German soccer player. Been her idol. And suddenly, their girls' women's soccer team in Texas, he's coming coach them.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, oh, my God, like, my idol is coming over here.
Yeah.
And their first meeting is awful.
Yeah, he is horrible.
He is such a douchebag. Horrible. And she's just kind of like, this is the person that I've looked up to? Are you serious?
Then she's pissed.
She's pissed off at him. And I love how she stands up to him. Like, she's just not going to cower about it. And, oh, God. I mean, like, he's had some issues in his
yeah,
past.
Yeah, he's had a lot of personal problems.
A lot of personal issues and sadness. Are just kind of like, buck up, buttercup, like, get over yourself, like, everyone has fucking problems, you
yeah.
know. So I just love Sal and Culty, and I mean, like, he is a hard nut to crack, but
yeah.
she's tenacious, and it also kind of starts to turn into like a Friends to Lovers type of thing
yes.
too. It's a slow burn, and
this is very Mariana Zapata style,
classic.
Yes,
Mariana
classic.
Zapata style. So yeah, Culty is just always going to be one of my favorite Mariana Zapatas. I just love them so much.
Me too. So I'm going to jump on that train because one of my favorite Zapatas is Wall of Winnipeg.
Yeah, Aiden is such a grump,
y'all. Aiden, and I know Justin's like he is an asshole.
He's
such
very...
a closed off.
And
asshole.
I wouldn't say that he's more of an asshole than Culty. I just, like, I don't know. It's just, like, some of the things that he says, I'm just kind of like, ugh.
Oh, my God. but I
around.
Love – see, what I love about this one so much, honestly, is the fact that – so she is his basically his assistant, his house. She basically cooks, cleans for him, all that kind of stuff, does a little bit of, like, assistant work when he's at the gym, that kind of stuff, you know, photography for his social media. And – he's basically been taking advantage of her. He never, ever says hi, thanks her for a meal.
Never thanks, like, Vanessa,
just,
like,
thank you.
Takes care of everything
yes.
and has everything, like, how he wants it. And he just, like, looks straight through her.
Yeah, like, she's always felt unappreciated. And she's really just been saving money up to start her own, like, graphic design business. And she's basically like, you know, I'm just going to wait to tell him. I'm just not going to tell him. Well, she eventually tells him, and there's no reaction. He's like, okay, whatever. And, like, he pisses her. He basically is really mean to her during this interview. There's, like, a news interview at the house. And he's mean to her. And then also his agent calls her a dinner
his
roll.
Agent
like,
is such
talks
a
about
dick.
Her like she's a little
I
fat girl.
I fucking hate his,
you know?
And, like, she's worked very hard at becoming fit. Like, she started running and she's very proud of her progress. And, like, to hear somebody basically belittle
and he's
you.
Just like, yeah. And she's like. And she was like, and he didn't even defend me. So she basically flips him off and is like, fuck you, have a nice life, and leaves. And I love this. I love these, like.
He has to chase after her and
yeah,
beg her to
so,
come back.
Yeah, so
like,
he
grovel,
comes
bitch.
After, like, he comes to her house. And, like, she lives in, like, you know, a sort of a rundown apartment. There's, like, a couple of drug deals going on around. He's like, you live here? He's like, you can see his protective instincts coming
yeah,
out
like,
immediately.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I can afford.
It's like, you can't live here, you know? And, like, he demands that she come back. He's like, I want you back. She's like, and she just, like, laughs in his face, sends him on his way. He keeps coming back
he
until
has to work
she agrees.
For it, and I love it.
I love it. I just love that he has to do a little bit of groveling, even though it's like Aiden style groveling,
mm-hmm.
but he agrees to whatever she wants. And there's so many moments where he finds out about, they both have broken pasts,
mm-hmm.
but she has remained optimistic where he has just sort of closed off and become the grumpy person,
yeah.
you know? So I do love that one.
Mm.
I do love that.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Okay. The next one that I have is The Opposite of You by Rachel Higginson.
Oh, I can't believe you thought of that one, not me.
No. I love The Opposite of You. Okay.
Oh.
Vera and Killian. Okay, so this is chef romance. Oh, I love it. Okay, so food and Grumpy Sunshine in one book, like catnip, okay?
Oh, so good.
I love this because Vera was trying to make her way as a chef. She's only ever gotten like a sous chef position. And she ended up by making the mistake of getting into a relationship with the head chef and he became abusive. So yeah. She left the situation. She had gone to Europe.
She fled to Europe
to just get away from him in small kitchens and just find herself again. She's back now. Her dad's sick and she decides to put all of her saved money into a food truck.
Yeah.
And her brother owns this bike business and she decides to park her food truck in the parking lot.
Which is right across
from this Michelin star rated restaurant.
Yes. With Killian, this famous chef.
This tattooed, bearded, broody
motorcycle
man.
Riding.
Oh my God. Chef. And he is not happy that a food truck is across the street.
Not happy.
She's like, what the fuck what does she think she's doing? And he starts sending his staff over to sample her food.
Spies.
And bring it back to him.
And she gets so mad. It's so funny.
And he critiques it. And she like sends him notes back. And then she like won't feed Wyatt anymore. Wyatt is one of the
yes, he's trying
she's
to
just like, no, I'm, I know who you are. Anymore. You spy. Like their relationship is so fun.
It is so funny. The banter, even just between so the great. Notes, he's like, how about the salt?
The salt, like, one of my favorite salt?
Scenes is like, he's like, cut back on the parsley. She chops up a whole thing of parsley and sends it with Wyatt. He goes, she told me to tell you. And he flips all the parsley out and make it rain, bitch. I laughed so hard. Good. Oh my God, y'all! This is
so great. She's fantastic. Yeah. She's fantastic.
I will say this is one of my top rereads as well for contemporary.
I love The Opposite of You, and I kind of recently reread it a couple of months ago.
I was just in the mood.
I need Killian in my life.
Because of course he's super protective.
Yeah,
you know, once he finds out and all this
God,
stuff,
he's
it's
so good.
So good.
I love him. Yeah.
Oh God, that one was good.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. All right, my next one is I have another Wolf Song by T.J. Klune.
Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't think of Wolf Song. I literally just ordered. There's a special edition UK cover that they're coming out with, and I just ordered it yesterday. Crystal sent me the link. I can't believe I didn't think about it. Oh my God, I'm so dumb. Okay, talk them about Wolf Song.
So this is a paranormal romance series, and Ox is basically he's a human. He's human. And
I like want to cry.
I know.
I love this book so much. Good.
He lives very close to this wolf pack that he learns later is a wolf pack. And this young boy, Joe, just basically falls in love with him, becomes his best friend. And it's just like, you're just like the greatest. You smell so good. He's always
why
saying
does he
things like
smell
that.
So good?
Why does he smell so
like
good?
Peppermints.
Yeah.
And
all
candy
the and pine needles. And
yes.
So the family knows that he has basically met his mate at a very young age.
But Ox, since he's a human,
has no idea. He just thinks this is a cute little boy who's like become his like looks up
BFF.
To him
because he's very you know, Ox is very awkward and
very
he's
awkward
been
he's very
his
alone
father,
yes
and
he lives alone with his mother
and bullied at yeah. school and so like his best friend is a little boy that lives down the road. There's a bit of an age gap between them,
right?
God,
and I love how his
so
older
good.
Brothers make sure he's not bullied anymore after
yes.
a while. They
Once
start
they
being protective.
Ox, this is also
it's a found family
element. I mean, yes. we're a sucker for found family as well. And this family, I mean, there's trauma that these people go through, like serious trauma. It's tearjerker series, absolutely.
Yeah,
but it's
you're gonna cry.
Beautiful. It's fucking beautiful. Oh my God.
And then when Joe grows up and Ox starts to have feelings for him.
When Joe starts teasing him.
Oh my God. So the first picnic where it happens, he takes off his shirt and Ox immediately is just like drawn to him. And when he realizes it,
he runs into the side of the house. And I love how all the siblings are
everybody
teasing
realizes,
him.
Oh my God, he's finally realized
happening.
He's attracted to
it's
Joe.
Happening now.
So
God,
good.
I love that book. Oh my God, I want to so do good. A reread.
Yes.
Oh, I want to do a reread so bad.
It's a beautiful story.
Beautiful story. T.J. Klune just writes
yeah, actually,
some of the best.
Yeah, and that was actually my last one.
Okay.
So
I just have one more as well. I have Slightly Scandalous by Mary Balog, the one that we
yes,
recently reviewed.
Yes.
And this is where we have a sunshine hero and a grumpy heroine.
Yes, she is super grumpy.
Freya, oh my goodness, is she sad? sassy. Okay, so Freya is part of the Bedwin family, very privileged. You know, her brother is a duke, and she has kind of, you know, grown up very privileged and just kind of like, do you know who I am type of thing. But she's not gorgeous and beautiful at all. She has a younger sister who, like, has more dainty features, but she's kind of inherited the, like, masculine nose.
Right.
And, like, the frizzy hair and stuff like that. And she's just kind of, like, bored. She decides to go to Bath because she doesn't want to face her.
She's also been jilted.
Yeah, her kind of
fiancé. It's a complicated
history between them two. But she's basically betrothed.
And then she was jilted.
Back right. Married to someone
right.
else.
Right.
So she wants to go to Bath because they're about to have a baby. So she's like, I need to get out of town. And along the way, she meets this guy who barges into her room at the inn. He's trying to escape because there's angry father trying to make him marry his daughter that he was, like, kissing and making out with or whatever. And Joshua is just kind of like, he is just kind of like
a
happy-go-lucky type of guy.
Super charmer.
Super charmer. And I love the banter between them because it's just so great. Freya is always used to having the upper hand.
Right.
But when she meets Joshua, he's so charming and he is, like, the perfect foil to her because he gets the upper hand and she's kind of like, ah.
And nothing she does.
A worthy opponent.
Upsets him.
Yeah.
Like, he just laughs it off and he's like, he's laughing?
Like,
what?
She has punched him multiple times in the face.
She accuses him, like, of, like, villainy in front of the entire ton.
Like, you have assaulted a lady.
A lady in the park. He's like, no, this is actually, and he just laughs. Like, it's so funny. Like, most men would just be like, this bitch, but he's not. He's just kind of entertained.
Like, what a firecracker.
I know. Like, I like her.
Yeah, I like this very, like, ornery woman. Like, who is she?
Exactly.
Like, I love it. And so they kind of, like, have, like, this uneasy truce between them because his aunt comes to call in town trying to basically force him to marry his cousin and he doesn't want to, and she also offends Freya, so Freya just kind of like, oh, this bitch, I don't like her even more than I don't like you, so yeah, I'll help you, we'll pretend to be, like, betrothed or whatever. And I love it because they're still not, like, exactly friends, like, they're not but they have, like, an uneasy little truce that brings them together, and I just love that gradual, like, I'm falling in love with you, but also just, like, I will do anything to protect you. Like, she does a lot of stuff to protect, like, him.
Yeah.
And I just really love her support. So, yeah, I love them. I love them so much. I'm so glad that I read the Bedwins.
That's a great one, too. That's a great one.
The Bedwins are awesome. And they're, I'm like, I literally have a lot more Grumpy Sunshines that I thought of during the course of this minisode, too. Like, there's
but we have
a
to narrow it
more.
Down.
Yeah, and then you just have to pick and choose. But, like, Grumpy Sunshine is just one of my favorite ones. I need to go clean up. I was just telling Juliet before I did this, I need to go clean up my Goodreads shelf for Grumpy Sunshine because I went on it and I have not been properly shelving my books, like, for the past year and a half, and I need to correct that. So I'm gonna definitely take probably maybe one day this week, take some time to clean up that shelf.
Yep.
Start fresh. Well, all right, guys, that was a fun
that was fun.
I will say you should look out in the future. We're gonna have some more tropes specific minisodes coming up from our other favorite tropes, which that'll be really exciting because I like to just, like, these, you know, rec type of things where we just talk about all the books and why we love them for their specific trope.
I know, and now after doing this I'm like, okay, I want to go reread that one and I want to go reread that
one. There's so many that I want to reread.
They're just
now,
like, comfort
especially
reads.
Wolf Song now I'm just kind of like, oh, damn,
yeah,
I haven't read that one. I know that you'll probably pick up The Opposite of You probably.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I want to go reread The Opposite of You again for the 100th time.
All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's minisode, and we look forward to the next one where we'll be reviewing Entreat Me. Thank you so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's better with little HEA.